Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live telephone talk show, On the Mark. We have the usual cast of characters, including a fabulous producer, Rob Center. Mr. Ben Reichle is across from me. He's the owner of a company, along with 200 of his best friends in Seals Grove. So we appreciate, Seals Grove and up and down. You have offices all over the place, right?
8 locations, Virginia, Maryland, all through Pennsylvania. Yeah, Rob. Most of us are sort of the cogs in the wheel that keep the thing turning, but to the folks who are on the front line, the truck drivers, the warehouse folks, the inside and outside salespeople, they're what makes the show run at LB Water.
Making the product, pushing the product and making it go where it's got to go.
Subsurface infrastructure, talked about it down in Washington with many of our new congresswomen and men from the state of Pennsylvania. Got to visit with Governor Ridge. Bob Garrett joined me last week, so it was nice to see a lot of the old faces who used to be new faces, those like Scott Perry, who are down there in the Pennsylvania delegate, but the new faces, the ladies and the new men going in there. We'll see what happens. Got to have a two conversations with Connor Lamb, interesting young man, and there's a pretty unique group of Pennsylvania delegates this year in Congress.
In Congress, okay, so a more diverse group too. So we're glad the gerrymandering is
except over in the Senate, same thing.
Okay,
Same two folks, Senator Toomey and Senator Casey.
You saw them also.
Passed Senator Casey, brief conversation, handshake. But when you're down there and you're trying to get to appointments and you're in between, it's a sort of interesting setup. You think Capitol Hill, it was the 3 days over the Sea of the Union address was Tuesday, but you're hustling around. And those who don't know their way around, I know how frustrating it is, but you're in the tunnels. You see the newscasts. And you see the Senate has far nicer tunnels than the House does.
Tunnels.
Well, underneath the buildings are how you get around efficiently. But you see the newscast, and sometimes you'll see the pipes or you'll see the bricks around. But the Senate has the amenities in the Senate, I guess it should be, because the Roman senators wanted those amenities. But from the cafeterias to the restaurants, parts involved in the Senate, the Russell and Hart buildings have a little upscale compared to Longworth, Cannon, and Rayburn, which the House members are in. But did see a brief flash of the Congresswoman from New York, sort of like a comet coming around the turn. Interesting place and a lot of new faces. And, of course, there's everything changes in Washington almost by the hour, if not by the day, if not by the week, if not by the month. So we see what's going on down there today.
And you were down there providing information so those folks have an informed view on the various topics they might have to take up.
I hope so. And basically how we started this conversation was with LB Water, but subsurface infrastructure. And it's a sort of a interesting part because they look at you sometimes puzzled, especially the staffers, and the staffers start writing notes. You know, we talk about infrastructure. It's great to talk about roads and bridges and seaports and airports and again, trains. But let's look at subsurface infrastructure, what's underneath the ground and how it affects our lives. And the simplest way is You turn on your water, and you want that shower at, what, 3:45 in the morning, 4:15 in the morning when you're trying to get up to work, and it doesn't work. There's something wrong. If that toilet doesn't
Making
work.
Making sure that happens.
Those are the simplest things of subsurface infrastructure, but the safety and the involvement in. So anyway, when we talk infrastructure in Washington, we're talking subsurface infrastructure, and pretty interesting. But again, new delegation of congressional members from Pennsylvania, and it should be a unique group, and we'll see what happens here in the future.
1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We invite you to call us throughout the show. We're going to talk about the emergency declaration and the government spending bill that's made its way through the House and the Senate. And the President said he's going to sign it, but at the same time, he's going to do an emergency declaration. So if you have an opinion about that, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, the best thing to do will be to sign up at wkok.com. We send you no more than a dozen urgent messages a month telling you about breaking news that's happening globally. There's always a link there. So we're going to say, okay, X road is blocked. Then there's a link. If you want to find out where and how, you go ahead. But if you're not going out that day and you don't need to know, you don't have to click through to the link. But it's an opportunity for you to find out what's going on in our valley. You know, we text, connect, breaking national news, local news, tornadic weather, dead celebrities, road closures, you name it. And we don't send you any ads. We don't sell your phone number. It's just an opportunity for us to tell you there's a big story on the radio and a link to check it out immediately at WKOK.com.
Keeps you informed.
Yes, it does. And it's two-way. That's right. And you can send a message to us anytime 24/7, and we will receive that message.
And that happens with the folks traveling in this area if they see a accident or a backup. I know I've done that a couple times.
Oh, replied back to the Text Connect and say, yep, we're gummed up. Yeah, well, that's what one of our listeners did this morning. Clark said, I'm sitting still on 83 right before Progress Avenue in Harrisburg in 83.
That's at the 81-83 split.
It's just after that, yep.
Well, there is construction going on down there. They're trying to widen the bridge. The bridge abutments.
Oh, so move the piers back.
Move them back so they can get extra lanes in 83. Yeah, at the time they were built, people thought, you know, how much would you actually have, you know, as far as traffic
what
and volume?
And two lanes would be fine.
And now we see that more is needed. So, that construction has been going on for, boy, I want to say a better part of 2 years now. But, one thing about it is travel safe, slow down. Use your turn signals. Use your headlights when there's mist or rain or fog in the air, especially when we have these temperature inversions where we have cold and then hot. And, you know, there's many apps that you can get now that will get you around traffic. And some of them will take you literally down, potentially down alleys in neighborhoods or streets that you thought you'd never be on. So there are ways around that traffic. But the important thing is, slow down. And if you get that alert soon enough, you could get around that area of 81 if you're going south pretty easy.
1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. John, thanks for calling in. We're talking about this big budget bill in Washington, D.C. What's your view on that amount of spending?
Well, good morning, Mark and Ben. Let's talk about that a little bit. The House and the Senate voted in favor of this bill, both by veto-proof majorities. At the last minute, 1,200 pages, they sent it to the president last night, and the government runs out of money today. So we're back where the political class and has voted in favor of the donor class and at the expense of the American people. And Washington hasn't changed one bit.
The donor class, that would be us?
The donor class is the people who donate huge amounts of money to the Democrats and the Republicans to get their way in Congress. You know, all the high-flying billionaires that can throw money around, like throw $100 bills around like we throw pennies around.
Well, John, it's not just individuals, it's organizations also.
That's true.
I mean, you have heavy, heavy union organizations, I mean, donations in those regards. You have corporate donations, and then you have the PACs. So, you know, it's
and the
very
union.
Much. Yeah, so when you look at it, one of the problems I see, and I believe the situation that started years ago without passing budgets, just doing these quote-unquote CRs or continuing resolutions, does not allow the politicians to, it gives them safety. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, and again, talking, being down there over the past 20 years now, it's time for some of these politicians to get a spine. It's time for them to stand up for their principles, and it's time for them to be held to their darn principles, because too many people go down there and they sell out. And it's Democrats, it's Republicans, it's independents. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. There is a president in there, you know, whatever you feel about him is non-political. It's upset the political apple cart to a degree, and you have people running for cover or trying to create situations to remove a president because their political life now is being questioned, and their accountability and their value to their constituents. So again, when you know we talk about this, you make a good point. It is the money, but it's also the lack of the fundamentals. And one fundamental is a budget, a federal budget that allows the American people to look at what the politicians feel is the priorities of federal spending.
I agree with that, Ben. The last budget we've had, by the way, was in the last year of George W. Bush's administration.
Yep.
The Obama administration never did pass a budget, just continuing resolutions, and you're exactly right. It gives Congress cover. You can't hold them accountable because they never really vote on anything except we're going to continue to fund the government. We're going to continue to fund the government. But, you know, who's going to change that then?
Well, you hope some new folks are coming in. I like what I see on both sides with some new folks coming in. I think on the Republican side, I believe the credibility of some of the congressmen and women who have stood fast out of the Freedom Caucus, and then the new group of Democrats coming in, they're there to upset the apple cart, and they're not playing by the standard rules. And Nancy Pelosi is trying to I don't want to say herd cats on the Democratic side, but she's getting feedback because these people want this. Now, you might not agree with what some of the progressives want, but they're going to Washington and they're making a difference. And the folks who might not agree what the Freedom Caucus wants, but at least there's a sliver of principle that they're standing on. You might not like the young lady from New York's progressive views on this, but at least she has some principles. Now, you might question, are those principles practical in the United States? Sustainable, but let's say practical in the United States. I certainly don't think a lot of them are, but there is something there positive. So, I think, John, with the new groups coming in, we're going to see, people say, well, they're going to pull both sides apart. Well, maybe that's what's needed, because those people in the middle that have been living off the political gravy train for not years, but decades, they need to go. I'll be honest. Hey, I wouldn't mind if Mitch McConnell was replaced with somebody younger. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, Steny Hoyer. I mean, nothing says new and innovative like 70-year-old politicians on both sides. So, at some point,
80-year-old politicians.
Well, and then that too. So, at some point, we got to look around and say, now you automatically don't turn everything over to the young folks. Because, there is something with age, hopefully comes wisdom, but then it is fair for younger folks to question. So I'm looking at 40 and 50-year-olds to male, female, Democrat, Republican, independents to maybe be the savior coming up politically.
Not that there's anything.
Ben, I don't share your enthusiasm and your confidence. How many of those new people do you think read that 1,200-page budget bill before they voted on it?
Well, unfortunately, less than should. I'll agree with you there, John. Hopefully, that's what you pay your aides to do, to give you the cliff notes and go through and pick out the parts that affect your congressional district or your state if you're a senator. So that hopefully is being done. But the parts that are coming out now and the details and you know, this was a in-your-face to the president type of bill where you can only spend money here and you can't spend money there. And, oh, by the way, you have to do it on the third Thursday if it's an odd day number to spend the money here. I mean, you know, this is the BS that drives people crazy.
And why did the Republicans vote for it?
Well, they voted for it to continuing resolution, not to shut the government down. There's a principle of shutting the government down, but the adverse effects then you see. So, you know, where is the benchmark to get back to reality of governing? And I think the first benchmark, I believe, and I think this would be pertinent, is a darn budget. A budget that says, okay, Mrs. So-and-so, senator from X state, you voted for this. Mr. So-and-so, congressional district in Florida, you voted for this. And then the constituents can see this. So, you know, that's what I guess Mark says is the vortex that we see down
yeah, they
in
lose their brain
down
once
in Washington.
Done.
But so, you know, we'll certainly see what happens, though,
Let
John.
Me stop you there, Ben. John, can you stand by? I got to take a quick break to stay on schedule.
Sure.
All right. I want to hear more about your view. And I want you to tell me when we come back precisely what I have to do to make this end. So, John, stand by. Ben, you hold on. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Ben Reichle is our co-host today. John, what can I do? I realize that all of our leaders' brains have been sucked out of the vortex. Senator Casey and Pat Toomey all the same now. Congressman Marino was, you know, a waste of space. Now, hopefully, we'll get somebody there that knew will have some decent ideas. Fred Keller would be a great one to send. What can we do?
A couple of things. First of all, Ben, you run a big business. How many non-essential employees do you have in your business?
Well, you'd want to say one or two who might be the upper management. No, you know, it's basically the answer should be zero.
Right. Well, we just had a government shutdown for 3 weeks, and in 9 agencies, we have 800,000 non-essential employees. So, you know, this is one of the problems with government, that the bureaucracy has gotten so large that we have people that don't have anything to do but fill space and find more work.
No, that's exactly right.
But the problem is term limits. We all know that. Every one of us understands. Every voting citizen knows that, you know, Bob Casey's going to be there for the next 450 years, and he's going to continue to vote. He's going to continue to tell us he believes one thing, and he's going to continue to vote the opposite, and everybody's going to just keep voting for him. It's like the Republican chairman in Massachusetts said, if Castro was on the ballot, they'd vote for him. So in Massachusetts. So term limits absolutely have to happen. They're not going to happen, because Congress cast the vote. The only way you're going to get it, there's been a movement going on. I've been very skeptical of this movement, but the longer I see what's going on, I thought maybe an outsider in Washington would stir things up. Well, he stirred things up, but he's not getting the kinds of things done, because the Democrats and Republicans are both opposing what he wants to do. But the Convention of States movement has just has been passed by the 14th state yesterday. Obviously, it takes, like, I don't know, 36 or 39 states to pass this thing, but it's a way to go around Congress to say, hey, Congress, we're gonna limit your terms to two terms in the Senate or 6 terms in the House, and after that, you can go back home to your farm like you were originally intended to.
Well, but John, one of the things I think is coming out now, it's where do some of these political parties stand, and primarily when you see the Democratic Party, is, you know, for years, if not decades, they've sort of masked themselves as, progressive, but sort of progressive in a capitalist way. And now we're finding out that a lot of their roots, even going back to some of their older members, are really in the socialist side of things. They're more liberal than they even let on to be, and we're seeing that now finally come out. Now we're seeing on the Republican side finally some of the people are growing spines and standing up for what they say in the Freedom Caucus, and we're seeing the conservative side there. But the point is, be who you are. I mean, there's a famous football coach who talks about Bill Parcells when he talks about a team's record. Well, at some point, you are what your record is. If you're a 500 team, you're a 500 team. You might have lost every game by 1 point in the last second, but you're still a 500 team. So at least these people are coming out, and the parties are somewhat coming out saying, okay, this is really what we are, or to a degree, here's what we are, and here's how we want to govern.
Well, I think that's correct. You know, liberalism historically has been those who were dedicated to the capitalist system, those who really wanted to make America better, but wanted to have a larger safety net. Progressivism, if you go back to the history of progressivism, progressivism isn't liberalism. Progressivism is much, much more socialist than it is liberal. And so they've adopted the name progressive, but a progressive is a word for socialism, really.
Yeah, liberal and conservative, they can go back and forth and say, okay, should the safety net be 10 or should it be 12 or should it be 8? You can have conversations because you agree that there should be a safety net and government should be involved in some way. One group wants it at 8, the other group might want it at 12. But when you get into the progressive side, you're talking about change, you're talking about socialist views on having to how to run a country and into the communist side of it.
Well, Vladimir Lenin said the purpose of socialism is communism.
Yes, it's a first step to communism or a trail to communism.
All right. John, we'll give you the last word. Go ahead, a quickie comment here, an additional remark. Thank you so much for this.
Yeah, I got to get out of here, but good talking to both of you gentlemen. And, we've got some problems that we got to address. We got to find a way, and hopefully we can, to get term limits for Congress.
But. All right, thank you so much. We'll see you up here shortly, and thanks for being late for us. We appreciate it. All right, John Shipman on the line. Al, you're on the mark. Thanks for holding.
Oh, you're welcome. I was listening, and John was talking about Mark Levin's movement, about the state. What's it called? He said. You weren't paying attention, were you?
No, it's based on the Constitution.
The Constitution of states or whatever.
Yeah, it's basically trying to get the 36 or 7, I believe.
You need three quarters of the vote.
Yeah, to
Mark
pass
Levin's
amendments.
Running. Mark Levin's big on that. The great one. Did you ever hear of him?
Yeah, he's
Mark
on WMLP.
Levin.
Yep.
Isn't Levin Liberty?
That movement. Yeah. And it's a great movement. And the thing is, I mean, I've been around this area, and I worked out at the Dreisbach Church, and then it related the other day to what the assistant AG, when they had him in front of Congress testifying, actually correlated to a politician that was out there at Dreisbach Church near Vicksburg. He went to Washington, and it was like a gold mine for him. He came back with a really nice buggy, went to church. Everybody was admiring his buggy. And he was ashamed because he got that from lobbyists. So he parked that buggy in the barn and never got it back out again and did his term and came back and did his farming again. Now, the AG were released to the acting AG, seemed like a nice, tough FBI straight shooter. But when he went to Washington, he said the same thing. Like, I hit the gold mine now. And actually, I thought he was, like, really... But they came to him, and they said, would you like to sit as the chairperson on this nonprofit? We'll pay you $1,300,000 a year. So there's a guy that just got to D.C. to work as AG for a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, but he gets a side job for $1.3 million.
You're talking about at that time acting. Now he's not anymore because Barr's in.
No.
But it was Whitaker.
Said,
you're talking about Whitaker.
He said, I won't be there long, but he hit the gold mine. He said the same thing.
Yeah.
So when they get inside that corruption, you're done.
Al, you want to hold on or you want to call back?
Yeah.
Hold on. All right, stand by. We've got to do the CBS News. We'll skip the headlines when we come back, and we'll go right back to Al. Mark Levin, 6 to 9 p.m. on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 9 o'clock.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We're going to wrap up our discussion about the dysfunction in Washington, which, of course, you could imagine we could do many, 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 many hours of. Al's standing by. We're going to have him on the line shortly. We had John Shipman on a moment ago talking about one of the things we do need is term limits, but there's a wide range of other things that we need. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. It's sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Your hometown winners, hometown pharmacies are highlighted by some winners of Bucknell University Small Business Development Association, a small business development organization. They have handed out awards to small businesses that have all the right stuff about potentiality and growth, and that would include the Norrie Pharmacy, or check that, Kathy at the Danville Pharmacy, Kathy Grandizio, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. But you'll find out that Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Pharmacy, or Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, is a winner when it comes to knowledge. She's the head pharmacist there. Steve at the Norrie Pharmacist is the wisest guy in the world on Duke Street. I know that to be true because I know him. Tyler's over at the Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, and he knows how to make those books and computers sing when it comes to finding out important information for you. And Terry's at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, making sure that everything you need in a rural location is there. They super serve you, drug take back, delivery, you name it. Some of them got all of that, and they really make sure that they are taking good care of you. It's not a big box. They don't have any place. They don't have two windows to go up to, one where you give them your number and the next one you give them your ID, and you go to the next window and they stamp your hand, and the next one they call you back when your stuff's ready. It's just super service at the counter, one-on-one, first name basis, and you will be better off for having shopped at a hometown pharmacy. They sponsor our toll-free line, which is open, 1-800-795-9565. We'll do headlines at 20 minutes after the hour. We're going to hear from Nicole Ferraguna this morning, and she's talking about the Green New Deal, or she's going to react to some of the points related to the Green New Deal. We started out talking about bad government, something Al on the line is willing to wait to tell us.
Yes, Ed, thanks for letting me hang on there, because it's limited government is what we need. If we have limited government, you're going to need less taxes. And then the taxes that we do pay ought to come with an agenda. And then, you know, the taxes would determine the budget, so you could have a balanced one of them. And then the taxation would give you some representation because of their agenda, and then you can have flat tax, you know, and the federal, state, and local level, and then everybody would be on the same playing field, and you would be working off of an agenda, and we wouldn't be voting for people. We'd be voting for their agenda that they want to do for we, the people, like I always like to say. And just thanks for letting me get that out there. And
well, I think it's important. You know, I don't know what it is. I always make fun of the vortex that when our leaders get to Harrisburg or Washington, their brains get sucked out and they're unable to function on the behalf of their constituents anymore. And the way that they mask it is they run your driver's license back and forth, so that makes it look like that they are actually helping you. And they'll, you know, they have a little farmer's breakfast, or in Washington they'll invite certain people to sit with them on certain speeches and so on. You know, they do all this pandering, and it makes it appear as though they are leading and serving you. But, you know,
well, they're Boy Scouts at that point.
Right.
They're doing nice things.
Trying
and that's
to earn
what
badges.
I told one of our representatives.
Right. They're trying to earn badges.
Oh, yeah. You got to earn your money when you're there and then come back and do what you used to do.
Yeah,
so the
it's
term
too bad.
Limits. So you don't get your head all full. As soon as you get a title, they're not after you because they like you. They're after your title because you got power now. Just like the assistant AG. Just like the guy I told you from the church around here that went to Washington for the first time and got a buggy from his people that wanted him to do this. Here, do this. And he put the buggy away. That's what we got to do. We got to put that stuff away. Serve our term as the guys that go into service, serve their term. They're in, they're out, they go back to their life.
All right, we got you, Al. Thank
and then
you.
We, right?
No, please go
okay,
right
thanks.
Ahead.
And, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, take it all the way down to where we all put our pants on one leg at a time in the morning. We're all the same.
Right.
And it's a flat plane, you know, flat tax, not a fat tax. But
no,
there
a fat
you go.
Tax, that's what we have
you know,
now.
Make it simple. Simplify it.
All right. To be continued. Well, thank you so much, Al. Thanks for waiting, and thanks for calling in. You waited through the CBS News, so we appreciate that. We have talked this week about the Green New Deal on a number of occasions. There are some Democrats who have signed on to this, and it is an idea, a group of ideas. I really thank Ben for bringing in a summary that really talks about it. Some of the elements talk about upgrading existing buildings, reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, trying to curb global climate change is really one of the big points that they'd like to do. And of course, right away, there were some negative remarks about it, saying that it would eliminate air travel or what was the one they were saying? Or they would kill off people unwilling to work and so on. Those are the Fox News talking points. They don't count. We're going to talk about some factual information. Ben is here. He's informed on this. And I asked Nicole Farragunda to call in. She's one of the local progressive leaders in our region, one of the founders of the Susquehanna Valley Progressives. She's on the line. Thank you so much for calling in, Nicole.
Hi. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
I do appreciate this. Some of the times they talk about, if you hear this, they'll say, well, the Green New Deal is going to make it very difficult for me to eat meat or to fly in a commercial airliner. What's the reality about the Green New Deal? Just give us a quick thumbnail definition of this. And I'll say in the beginning, you're not an expert on this, but you followed it and you boned up on it and you know what it actually is. Give us your sketch of what it really is, please.
Well, first I'd like to just say, let's start by just saying this is an investment in people, communities, and our collective future. So this is what bold leadership looks like. You know, we forgot what real social change, real government investment looks like in this country. And I want folks to think about, you know, Woodrow Wilson establishing the National Park System, FDR authorizing a system of safety nets and policies that empower everyday people and workers, Lyndon Johnson establishing Medicare and Medicaid, you know, Richard Nixon creating the EPA. So these are investments in people and communities. And that's exactly what the Green New Deal is about. So why is it important? You know, right now we're faced with the greatest crisis of our generation, climate change. It's already impacting our world, threatening lives, devastating communities. And we have spent hundreds of billions of dollars on climate-related weather events just in the past 10 years. So rebuilding communities, you know, wiped out from floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, bailing out farmers that have experienced massive droughts, dealing with the toll on invasive species on our forests, farmlands, you know, spreading disease. So what the New Green Deal does is it recognizes the real costs of climate change, past, current, and future, and it makes bold investments that will curb and mitigate these impacts while creating real, lasting improvements to our communities. It creates jobs, it reinvests in our infrastructure, it rebuilds our communities, and it improves the quality of life and stability of all Americans.
Well, one of the things they hope to do is upgrade all existing buildings for more energy efficiency. How can that be done? There's 966 trillion buildings in the U.S. that are heated. So how could that work if you know how this might sort of hit the ground running?
Actually, energy efficiency is probably one of the easiest and most effective ways and cost-effective ways of saving money in terms of energy costs and emissions. So, you know, there are tax breaks that allow individuals and businesses to actually make these improvements right now. So if we really take this on, that's like the low-hanging fruit of curbing emissions. That's actually the easy part of it in a lot of ways. Some of the older buildings, I agree, are more challenging, but there are so many ways that people, businesses, can make these improvements. And not just save on emissions, but they're saving dollars on their heating expenses and cooling expenses.
All right. What about working with farmers to eliminate pollution and greenhouse gas emissions? I think that's where they say you won't be able to have steak.
Yeah. I think that, well, the methane obviously is an issue. I mean, one, I think Americans eat way too much meat. It's not good for your health, but that's a whole other story. You know, this is, there may be ways to change the diet. There may be methane capturing opportunities. Again, you know, there are so many opportunities to invest in technology that we haven't really explored. And so this is about taking the next 10 years, using our investments wisely, and making improvements in our infrastructure, in our communities, and really trying to build climate resilience plans that sets us up to defend ourselves against the impacts of climate in the future.
All right, so when we talk about eating beef, that's a very efficient way to create a food product for Americans is to beef. It's very energy and intensive, and it's, you know, it has a pretty significant carbon footprint. So just reducing that, I guess, is what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, killing off cows, and we're not talking about...
Well, we do kill off cows, obviously.
Well, ultimately,
the beef,
I suppose.
Market, though. But, you know, there's also very high-protein alternatives to meat, and so you can supplement your diet for sure with those kinds of products. And maybe there's a beef tax. You know, people, you know, will say, oh, well, you're going to charge me more for eating beef. But the thing is, that beef is already costing us in terms of the impacts of climate, in terms of cleaning up after natural disasters, in terms of even heart disease. You know, all of these issues that we all are contributing to in terms of our society. So maybe using some of that money to really invest in solutions that will, again, create climate resilience plans and help us prepare for the future. Yeah, I just want to say, too, you know, I know that one of the biggest concerns that folks might have about this is what it costs. You know, and I think about, well, what are we spending money on now? You know, we talk about, Trump's tax cuts. You know, the Trump tax cuts benefited the very wealthy, had very little benefit to the average person. Some are even seeing negative impacts. They're estimating that cost at $2.3 trillion over the next 10 years. We spend about $650 billion a year on the military. That's about $6.5 trillion over the next 10 years. We spend about $359 billion in the last 10 years just on cleaning up the communities that have been devastated by climate-related natural disasters. You know, we're bailing our farmers out because of Trump's failed self-inflicted tariff wars. We have spent on average about $1 trillion more on health care than other countries each year. And, you know, a Medicare for All system would actually save us money in the long run. You know, Trump is going to declare a national emergency today to get $8 billion to build a few hundred feet of wall that we don't need, that the people along the border, those fighting on the front lines, don't want. You know, it's basically an $8 billion photo op for Trump. And we have spent trillions of American dollars on fighting wars, protecting energy interests overseas, and rebuilding and securing infrastructure here at home. And, you know, we're just throwing money away in many cases because we're really not doing anything to solve the many problems that we're facing, not in regards to climate, not in regards to our health care, not in terms of rebuilding the middle class and giving folks real sustainability in terms of living wages and financial security.
Don't bend any reaction. Well, real quick right here, Ben Reichle's with us, and I asked Nicole to call in.
Out of the democratic liberalism, I think John Shipman mentioned about the difference between socialism and liberalism, and you know, and we hear the talking points, and here's the scenario, just to jump on the tax cuts. The tax cuts will take effect this year, and every family. And remember, 47% to 49% of the people do not file federal income tax. So when you talk about who are the taxpayers, but when you talk about what the tax cuts did, they did lower business rates, but they also improved rates for families. And you're talking about child deductions.
For some families.
No, for most. For most, if not all. Now, here's the difference, and it's interesting how people sort of hide information and are deceptive on that. You have federal taxes and you have state taxes. So on the federal side, what you see is you see a doubling of the child increase from a standpoint where you can deduct now twice as much for children. You see family deduct. So you see a lot of this coming out. And this is the year this is going to play out for the most part because we're filing for 2018. So it's pretty disingenuous when some of the information comes out and doesn't give the total picture. And you hear the same thing. So when we hear the Nicole, what you're saying, I've heard on MSNBC, I've heard on CNN. You hear the same thing that this was, you know, tax cuts for the rich, which, you know, it was for businesses. And it created the competition for businesses to be able to stay here or come back to the United States. That creates jobs, and we see that jobs have been created. And I think it was 7.3 million job openings that are out there. So, you know, there's a lot of positive things that are going. You know, a couple things that you cannot define affordable housing. Define a living wage, because you can go anywhere. I can say, okay, define that in San Francisco and define that in Sunbury, Pennsylvania.
And livable wages basically means that people can afford to live without, for example, livable wages, where so many corporations pay, you know, $10 or less to their workers, and then those workers have to subsidize their living costs with government funding.
Okay, then. So what's a livable wage?
Those individuals, Nicole, have the ability to actually make a wage that they can afford to feed their family, have affordable health care, live in a home that is safe and warm, and give their family a real opportunity to thrive.
And again, so define that in San Francisco, define that in Los Angeles, define that in Tulsa, Oklahoma, then start defining it here in central Pennsylvania. So we see, you know, where this is all. Here it is. The bottom line is the opportunity in the United States is vast, and capitalism has taken more people out of poverty than any other ism that we see around the world, not socialism, not communism. And also, too, interesting point, you bring up Lyndon Johnson. You look at the war on poverty, and you look at the failure of Lyndon Johnson in the war on poverty, and you look at safety nets. Here's an interesting point about safety nets. In the Obama administration years, there was probably somewhere between 45 and 50 million people on food stamps. Now that number's come down to be between 28 and 32 million. Now, one of the things is that means people are out working, people are having jobs and doing things that are sustainable that allow them to move up. The other part is the safety net should be able to expand and come back. But on the side of liberals and progressives, they have a ideal, and it's almost religious, that the government needs to be there to provide and make sure that whoever falls down doesn't get hurt permanently. But instead of then allowing them to get up and then move forward, they say, oh, we'll coddle you and keep you here. You're safe here with us.
All right. Nicole, I know you might want to respond to that. I have to take a quick break to hold on, to stay on schedule. So can you hold on a couple of seconds?
Absolutely.
All right. Stand by. You'll have the mic when we come back. We're talking to Nicole Farraguna, one of the local progressive leaders. We're lucky to have good leadership like that in our valley. And she and... The Susquehanna Valley Progressives bring these kind of ideas to the forefront in a number of fora that have taken place in our valley and will continue to do so. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Nicole will get some more remarks. We have a text standing by. We got some emails standing by, and we'll take more comers on the phone. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open, 1-800-795-9565.
Oh, the weather outside's been frightful. School cancellations are delightful. I want to go play in the snow. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Why is it that only kids are excited when it snows? Mom gets all crazy about going to the store for bread, milk, and eggs, and Dad runs to the hardware store for more salt. One of the quickest stops we make is our hometown pharmacy. We call ahead for our prescriptions, pick them up, and head on home to build the biggest snow fort on the block.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trutz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Can anyone tell me, what's the big deal about bread, milk, and eggs? I mean, what's everybody gonna do? Sit inside and eat French toast while watching Snowmageddon hit?
Your hometown pharmacy. Making a difference every season, every day.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are talking about national topics, the Green New Deal, and we've morphed into what's the real difference between progressives and conservatives. So we'll continue to do that. We got texts and emails and callers. Nicole's on the line. She's going to finish up. Then I got to do news headlines to stay on track here, which we will do. It'll be very brief, and then Harvey will talk. So let's go back to Nicole. You get a couple of moments, and then we'll say goodbye, but we really appreciate you checking in.
Well, I want to say, we can go on about the tax bill. I don't think anyone's denying the fact that the tax bill was a huge win for the wealthy,
for the American
for
corporations.
People. This new Green Deal is what we're talking about in regards to a real investment in communities and people. And you know, I hear Ben talk about socialism and. Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about socialism. Americans love socialism. They love it when it benefits them in terms of investing in services and programs that that support them, right? So it's the military, roads and highways, public education, postal service, the VA, Medicare, Medicaid, disability, unemployment insurance, Social Security, FEMA. You know, these are all forms of democratic socialism, and this is what we're really talking about.
No, Nicole, I disagree with you on this.
Because you'll have time to talk here.
This is a point that you'll get time here. Those are driven by capitalism.
People say we can't do this.
Those are driven by capitalism.
This is America ingenuity has been faced with crises before. You know, we're dealing with one of the greatest crises of our time, not just America, but the world. You know, when America was faced with World War II, we had just been climbing out of a full depression. Yet this country sacrificed the highest level in terms of business owners and workers taking on challenges that they've never faced before. But yet we prevailed. You know, if the same people, the same naysayers, were in charge in the 1930s and 40s instead of someone like FDR, we might be speaking German right now. You know, if we do nothing, we put our communities in more peril as weather events will only intensify. We'll spend more money building and rebuilding communities that will only get damaged again. We'll invest nothing in the livelihoods and well-beings of the people. You know, we're spending, as I mentioned earlier, $1 trillion more just on health care than on average every year than other countries. You know, we could be making true investments in people, in communities, and in our future. I ask you to read the resolution. Don't listen to talking heads.
Right.
Learn more
read
about
the whole
clean
thing.
Energy, healthcare for all, climate resilience. Really become educated on these issues and, you know, really understand how these ideas are really good for the average person.
All right, Nicole, thank you so much for checking in. We appreciate it. We'll have you back in the studio at your leisure. As soon as you're ready to come back, we'll have space for you here in some time. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Nicole Faraguna, svprogress.org, their website. She's speaking as a private citizen about the Green New Deal. You felt compelled to get some important points.
Well, yeah, the parts. And again, the progressives will try to tie socialism into this. But, you know, this country was built on capitalism and ingenuity. And what's interesting is when they start to hijack programs. So why did these programs come about? Why did the military come about? They were funded and they were put together before 1913 when there was a federal income tax. Entrepreneurs, business people built hospitals, built libraries, built cities, towns, mills, and they thrived. So then there was a correction with union labor that came in, and the unions were needed at that time to be the corrections. But to hijack and to look at what FDR did and look at the 30s and where we were in a depression because of some of his policies, and he got us out, you know, with a war. So, that's interesting, and people should look at that history. And I say I'll agree with Nicole. Educate yourself. Educate on the lack of critical thinking, you know, this Green New Deal is. The green in this New Deal is the money that will be wasted. Now, you can say, hey, we've wasted money up to this time, and I would agree in government because the lack of efficiencies. And look at the war on poverty and look how it's failed. So, you know, you want to look at it and you think we are. But here's the mantra of this whole. Here is the main narrative of this based on this Green New Deal. It's climate change. And, you know, until we ever have a real discussion about climate change and what's causing it, because there's too much money being made by people like Al Gore on climate change, and that's the hypocrisy that goes into it. So it's sort of interesting when you want to hijack these programs. But who paid for these programs? Who pays for these programs? And that's the American people paying taxes into that, and that's the capitalistic system, because the socialist system will run out. And you look at the democratic, quote-unquote, socialist systems of Europe, not doing overly well. You look at other places like Venezuela, not doing very well.
All right, Harvey, headlines and then a break. Go ahead. First, Harvey, thanks for waiting. You're on the mark.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So first, I want to thank Nicole for everything she said, which is absolutely spot on. And with regard to a Green New Deal, it's absolutely urgent. It has to happen now. And the way that it can be funded is actually fairly simple, and it is a simple return to our history. So if you look back under Eisenhower, right, the top earners paid a 91% marginal tax rate, 70% under Kennedy and Johnson. We're thinking about going, or at least Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is thinking about going back to 70%. But here's what's important for listeners to understand. That's not 70% on you and me. That's 70% on your $10 million and first dollar, right? So we're not going to be affected by this, but people who have disproportionately benefited from an unfair, unjust system are now going to have to pay. The reality is that capitalism has been a disaster for this country. Ben said a few moments ago, the country was built on capitalism. It's actually built on slavery, two varieties, chattel slavery, right, and wage slavery, which continues up into the present. And I'd simply ask listeners to think about your own life and to think, how could it be better? In what ways, right? Having health care. My mom died of cancer in 2013, right? And when she went in and was diagnosed, immediately after learning that she had about a year to live, an accountant came in and asked, now how do you plan to pay for this? That's capitalism, right? Greed is the bottom line. It's insane to have a system predicated upon this. People with automation and with the advancement in technology, there's no reason why people need to work 40, 60, 80 hours a week, work two jobs. Part of what we need to think about, and this is what the Green New Deal does, is an expansive vision of the world we want to inhabit, where we get to be human, where we get to go fishing if we want to, where we have time to read, where we get to spend time with our families. That's very different from what a lot of people experience right now. The idea that government stands in the way of this is a joke. If it's actually a representative democracy, that government needs to work for us, be accountable to us, and see that we are able to fulfill our human potential.
All right. Well, all
that's
of this
democracy.
Well, thank you so much for checking in, Harvey. I appreciate it. We're welcoming all viewpoints, and we certainly welcome yours, and we really appreciate you making those emphatic points. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Do appreciate that. Harvey on the line. We're going to continue this discussion in a moment. I got headlines, so we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about the Green New Deal. We got texts, emails, and we'll take callers. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. That's 1-800-795-9565. You're welcome to email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Rob Centers, our producer. Ben Reichle is our co-host today. I'm Mark Lawrence. In the news, U.S. Senator Bob Casey voted for the big spending bill in Washington, D.C., saying the bipartisan agreement will keep the government open and invest in effective border security. He says President Trump's national emergency declaration is a complete abuse of power, and he'll participate in the fight against it. You can see all of his statement at WKOK.com. U.S. Senator Pat Toomey disagreed, saying the bipartisan spending bill is a boondoggle, saying it's irresponsible for the Congress to pass it because it includes hundreds of millions of dollars on wasteful and ineffective programs and does nothing to advance government. Senator Toomey says he's pleased there won't be another partial government shutdown, calling the bill some sort of a compromise, but he offered no particular opinion on the president's emergency declaration. His statement, too, at WKOK.com. Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman is going statewide to talk about legalizing recreational marijuana. State Senator Gene Yaw talked about this, saying that for some individuals, it is a gateway drug, and for others, not.
I'm just not convinced that it is. Just because people smoke marijuana once in a while, I really don't think that it is the type of gateway drug that opioids have gotten targeted with.
And Yaw says he's not for recreational marijuana, and he does disagree with the Majority Leader Jake Corman's comment that it's irresponsible to even discuss it.
I've learned a lot in my opioid travels that we need to talk about it. I think that talking about it is not a problem. We don't necessarily have to agree on everything. I think that it's reasonable to talk about it.
A man who, in other news, a man who says he was unlawfully detained in Harrisburg on his wedding day by a Pennsylvania magistrate who wrongly suspected he was in the U.S. illegally is suing. So this is a man goes to the magistrate to get married. Of course, he has an accent, so immediately the magistrate thinks he's in the country illegally. He's suing, alleging violations of his constitutional rights. Alexander Parker Thursday sued Camp Hill-based District Judge Elizabeth Beckley, two court entities, and an unidentified court clerk. Parker says told him he was not free to leave as he applied for the marriage opportunity. The federal lawsuit claims that Guatemala-born Parker, who does have an accent, and his fiancée went to Magistrate Beckley's office to get married in 2017, but Beckley instead immediately called the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office. Parker says after hours of being detained, federal investigators confirmed he's a legal resident. Beckley eventually married the couple. Beckley didn't return messages for comment. A spokeswoman for the state court system offered no immediate comment. It's called, it's like driving while black or speaking with an accent.
Well, hold it. Did he have papers to prove this?
Yeah, he's 100% legal in every way.
Well, hold on, did he have the papers there?
Well, he had a Pennsylvania driver's license.
Mark, you're jumping to a conclusion here that you think everything is some sort of an ism. I mean, I've heard you on the show for years, so you jump to these conclusions. But did he have the proper documentation?
He had a Pennsylvania driver's license.
Okay, now, did she jump to a wrong conclusion? Yeah, possibly it showed here.
No, yes.
But just because it was questioned, when you go in to get your marriage licenses, you get questions on certain things. You have to have certain paperwork. So you hopefully, if that wasn't in line, then this person. Well, sometimes you do.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue this discussion and all others. We got callers, emailers, texters standing by. We'll be right back.
Cupid's arrow has hit the bullseye. Cupid has hit the sign in front of Sunbury Motors Kia. Drive by and you'll believe in love at first sight too. Lease a new Kia for under $200 a month. Fall in love with this deal at Sunbury Motors Kia. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $196.40 a month for 39 months. But that's not all. During the Kia President's Day sales event, a 2019 Kia Sportage LX is priced at just $247.94 a month. And a 2019 Kia Niro LX starts at only $255.13 a month. Both for 39 months. All new Kias come with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Cupid hit the bullseye of savings at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 1115 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases over 39 months, 10,000 miles per year. $2,000 due at signing. No security deposit required. Tax and tags included. Offers expire 2/28/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan always has Friday off because he's retired and has to lengthen his weekend. But Mr. Ben Reichle comes in. He's a Republican committee person and a true conservative, so he's on board. We'll start out with Lance, right? That's what we should do. Lance, you're on the mark.
Hey, boy, those last callers there, they sounded like me about 60 years ago, 50 years ago.
So you used to be progressive, and now you're not. So have you digressed?
No.
No, okay, good.
Well, see, there's one caveat there, though. See, back then we were worried about freezing to death. And I can show you all kinds of places where it said the natural warming cycle of the Earth has been interrupted by all the carbon.
Yeah, I think that's Time Magazine, what, 74, 75, 76?
Oh, yeah. I keep the blurb in my wallet to read to people. But seriously, if we go back 1,000 years, the Earth was undergoing basically the same warming, the same everything that's going on. There's going to be all kinds of floods and pestilences, and the whole thing is places where it was cold is getting warmer. Here, there was the indigenous peoples here had some really horrible wars because the southern folks were moving up to north, and the fighting over the hunting grounds. And the big thing, though, I think, was religion, because the southerners were a lot more spiritual than what the northern Indians were, and it was pretty nasty. Same thing happened over in China, and it was really awful. So it's just what the Earth goes through. That's it.
Yeah, well, you know, one time, you know, they called something called an ice age. Well, it had to warm up quite a bit. So that, you know, you want to talk about global warming? What happened between after the ice age?
Well, it started to get warm. See, it was warm from 950 to 1350, and then 1350 till 1850. You know why it was cooling off, and then it started to warm up in 1850. But my goodness, in London there, the Thames River froze to the bottom about the time Shakespeare was doing all these plays and the King James Bible was being translated.
Froze solid, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So all kinds of writings where they talk about it.
All right. We got you. All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Texts are hard to read, but we're going to do it. It says, talking about Nicole Faragona, is she serious? Who's going to pay for all of this, and where's the money come from for these pie-in-the-sky schemes? This is a grand power grab by the left. Why is the Senate sponsor of the Green New Deal afraid to vote on the bill? So there's never been drought or severe storms in the past. I guess farmers in the Dust Bowl of the 20s and 30s did go through a drought because there was no climate change. Why does she continue to promote the progressive lies? The wall is needed, and the people on the front lines do say we need a wall. And then goes on to say, it's not the government's money. Why do the leftists continue to push for socialism with no way to pay for it but soak the rich? Take every dime of the rich's money, and the government might run for a couple of weeks. Then what? Then they come for the middle class's money. Then when that runs out, then what? It's up to China and Russia, I guess. Let's see. The real question is, will the socialists be doing all this while all of this is going on? They'll be living high on the hog like they do in Venezuela and Cuba. Let's see. We're told that they don't have the money and need help. And when all the money's confiscated, then what happens? Okay. So, sorry, I think I read some of those text panels out of order, but they come in out of order. So
I think the gist is...
it's hard for us to read them.
He's not a Green Deal person. You know, one of the things, you know, break down the micro stuff. We can get into these details. But the macro part of this is government control. The left... The progressives need government control. They despise the people who are independent. They despise people who can do it on their own or put things together. It's getting more and more where you can see now. Be what you are. Okay, so the government to do this, government to do this, government to do this. As long as they control government, as long as they have their president, their House reps, and their senators in there to control this, they'll be fine. This is about government control. This is taken away from every human being or citizen and actually non-citizen in the United States. So it's controlling your life. What you're going to drive or how you're going to transport yourself, what you're going to eat. You hear these little things, well, red meat is actually bad for you. Well, is it really that bad for you? Hold it. There's a lot of athletes. There's a lot of people who have become very healthy, and they've had red meat in their diet. Now, if you don't eat other things, I think you have dietitians on here, Mark. I think yesterday or the day before.
All things in moderation.
In moderation, dietitians. So again, I would say this. You know, the left. You want to talk about getting on business? Get on the food industry. Get on the preservatives that go in the food. Fight that battle. But don't tell Joe Smith or Jane Smith what they cannot have for their Valentine's dinner. If they want a 24-ounce Delmonico steak, have it. If they want
24
Chilean sea bass, have it.
Even I don't need 24 ounces.
Anyway, this is a government grab. This is nothing but a government grab.
We're going to read the emails, and we're going to take a quick break. And then we got callers standing by. Good morning. I see that Donald Trump is having a border showing at 10 o'clock this morning. There is no crisis at the border. He's using his promises to get elected to claim crisis. More fake news, Donald! Exclamation points. This is unconstitutional. Democrats rule the House. Go Nancy and Chuck. Thanks, says Bob.
Good luck, Bob.
Next emailer correcting Nicole says, we'd be speaking German if it wasn't for FDR. No matter who was president in 1941, the Japanese would have still attacked Pearl Harbor. That's what got us into World War II.
Correct.
What is Nicole Ferragana and the progressives going to do about China's world pollution, which is still excessive?
And let's throw in India.
And
that's the fallacy of the Paris Accords. China and India were going to go supposedly along with it. So the rest of the world hamstring your industries in your countries and allow us just to have a free-for-all. And that's the basics of the Paris Accord.
All right, stand by. Ben, we will be right back. Folks, we got callers standing by. We'll be right back.
Cupid's arrow has hit the bullseye. Cupid has hit the sign in front of Sunbury Motors Kia. Drive by and you'll believe in love at first sight, too.
Lease a new Kia for under $200 a month.
Fall in love with this deal at Sunbury Motors Kia. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $196.40 a month for 39 months. But that's not all. During the Kia President's Day sales event, a 2019 Kia Sportage LX is priced at just $247.94 a month. And a 2019 Kia Niro LX starts at only $255.13 a month.
Both for 39 months.
All new Kias come with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Cupid hit the bullseye of savings
at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 1115 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases are 39 months, 10,000 miles per year. $2,000 due at signing. No security deposit required. Tax and tags included. Offers expire 2/28/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got 5 minutes left. We got a lot to do. Three callers and more texts have come in, so we'll start with the callers. Everybody gets a minute. Chris, you're on the mark.
Yeah, Ben's retelling of history is kind of strange. Everything from the Socialist Party was the first to propose the 40-hour work week. They were behind worker safety innovations and laws. And what capitalist is ever for them?
Well,
never mind any at all.
It was the unions that
got
enforced.
This tax bill, it was $2 trillion, it turned out, instead of $1.5 trillion. It was passed, rushed through without much time to study it. They did it right before the CBO report on it came out because they didn't want to face the CBO report before when there was still debate going on. And if you had $2 trillion to distribute to America to make America better, why would you give 80% of it to the top 1%? It's ridiculous.
The tax cuts will affect.
And why
every...
didn't they run on it, too? Because they knew it was unpopular.
No, I don't think it was. It was very popular. And you look at what the business taxes.
It is not. They would have run on it in the election campaign. No Republican pushed that at all.
Chris, look at what revenues are coming into the state's coffers and what revenues will come in, tax receipts will come in
after this year. And look at the national debt going up because of it, too.
And you were very concerned under the Obama administration.
All right.
You were, weren't you? You aren't now, are you?
I think I'm concerned about it now.
I'll defend my own hypocrisy if you think it's that. I can defend that, but you can't defend yours at all, can you?
Yes, I can. And the part about the national debt
is why were you so concerned about it under Obama and you aren't under this tax thing?
All right, we'll let him answer off mic. Go ahead.
The national debt has been a problem, and the Republicans will not address it along with the Democrats. And the Trump administration has started to address this. I think there was one plan put out many years ago called the Penny Plan, where 2 cents to every tax dollar goes in to pay down the national debt, and that's the spineless Republicans who won't get behind that, along with their Democratic comrades.
All right. One of our texters, the U.S. Congress voted to give the president the power to declare a national emergency. So the president does have the authority, just like President Obama did. But I know the left. It was a hard time accepting that. They have a hard time accepting the fact that Donald J. Trump is the president of the United States. Boo-hoo for them. Dale, you get a minute on the radio. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Ben. I mean, I consider myself willing and able, and I want to have a direct contact with, you know, my employer. I don't want a third party going through government. So I think people who are not willing and able need government. And I just say, you know, the people who think that, you've been asking for term limits and smaller government for how many years, and did you get it? So I just say, I'm pro-business, pro-corporation. I believe that if we can get them out of the way, or at least, you know, regulate them in some way, I think it'll benefit everyone. And I taught Ben, and he's got a backbone, and he speaks up, but he has to do business with the jokers, too. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much. And Lance, you got another minute. Go right ahead.
Hey, back in the 50s, that 90-whatever percent tax rate, that was sort of a fallacy because it shot so many holes in it and gave you so many deductions.
Yes.
The effective rate was hardly 30%, and that's the truth. And if you look in the 30s, when it really was 90%, the economy didn't exactly roar, did it?
No, and Chris,
no, that's what happened.
And the other part that the liberals want to bring up on this, Lance, look at what Kennedy was doing in the 60s when he took over. He was cutting taxes, and he cut taxes to stimulate the economy. And that's the joke and the disinformation the people put out there. 91% tax rates from the caller from Lewisburg. Look at the deductions. Look at the net on this. And that's the deception that both parties play, and it's Democrats and Republicans.
All right. We want to remind everybody that the Sunbury Motor Company brings you the On the Mark show. They're our primary sponsor, and they're a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Do as I've done. Go to the Quick Lane. Say you got a big trip planned up, and they'll do a trip check, whether it's winter or summer. Wash the vehicle, align it, pump you up with nitrogen, do some body work, and send you out the door, and make sure that you're in tip-top shape. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. Buy your next Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln at the Sunbury Motor Company.
Transportation needs, go to Sunbury Motors.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you got an enormous dump truck or a tiny little smart car, they can fix it. Thank you so much for coming in, Ben.
Yeah, thanks
we'll
a lot.
See you in a week. Thank you, everybody who participated. All very, very, very much appreciate it.
Good callers, good emailers, good texters.
Super show and fabulous producer. We got it all going on. And a handsome host. This is WKOK Sunbury.